after you pay the bill. Headache Saigon has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, the final hour here of the program this evening. It is now Friday, March 30th, 2007, about 2 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. I'm glad you're with us. We have been doing an all-news segment here on the program, and I certainly enjoy doing these types of things periodically because there is so much news. You just can't get away from it. It's too important not to address, so we have been doing so for the last 3 hours. We'll continue here this hour. We're talking about Iran, sort of what's going on. This story from the 25th, the Daily Mail, is where you can find it. Anyway, they were talking about how they've proven definitively, the British are saying, that their personnel were definitely in Iraqi waters, not in Iranian waters. The vice admiral also disclosed, it says, that the Iranians had changed their account of where the incident had taken place after it was pointed out that the first set of coordinates they gave were in Iraqi waters. The prime minister, who spoke to George Bush yesterday about the growing crisis, told MPs, quote, "It is now time to ratchet up the diplomatic and international pressure in order to make sure the Iranian government understands their total isolation on this issue," end quote. Blair also defended the boarding party's entirely sensible decision not to fight back against their captors, as they were heavily outnumbered and it would have led to a severe loss of life. However, the decision to not fight back is being angrily criticized around the world, particularly in the United States, with talk of timidity and impotence in the face of Iran's aggression. One irate critic declared Britain had, quote, covered itself with shame for failing to show a more aggressive response to Iran. Does that sound like an American statement? It doesn't necessarily say it's an American statement, but it says particularly in the U.S. and the sentence before that. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Great Britain has covered itself with shame. That sounds like an Osama bin Laden statement, doesn't it? The dogs will cover themselves with the shame of their failure, for their women sleep with camels and whatever else type of propaganda nonsense Osama spews from his most likely American written script. We're talking about like the computer generated Osama, right? Like the Max Headroom of 1980s. All right, anyway. So supposedly one critic, and again, they're not going to even source where that critic comes from, but this is interesting. It says, in a New York newspaper article, military historian Arthur Herman claimed, quote, "The escorting ship HMS Cornwall could have blown the Iranian naval vessel out of the water," end quote. One reader wrote, a reader of the newspaper, but of course they don't source who that is. One reader wrote, quote, "The United Kingdom is acting like the French. Say what you want about President Bush, but I bet the Iranian madmen are not mad enough to try this on our Navy," end quote. Oh, come on! Can you not see this? Can you not see this? This is antagonizing the situation. This is going to infuriate... Who's going to be mad by that statement? A couple of people. First of all, the British. They're going to start demanding... You know what? Them, those cowboys over there in America, they're right. We should have fought, and we should have done this, and our people are cowards, and we got to go in there and rescue them, because obviously they won't even fight when they're approached. This is BS. This is nonsense. This sucks. Let's go get our people out of there. That's one way to look at it. The French are going to be upset. They're like, oh, I can't believe you blamed us, that you say that they are like us. We would have fought, and whatever else they would have said. And then, of course, who else would be upset with this? I don't know, maybe Iran, with the statement like, those Iranian badmen would never be mad enough to try that to U.S. vessels. I guess we'll find out, won't we? Anticipate something like that happening, folks. Unfortunately, pray for our troops. Stay with us. We're back in three.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We're just talking about the media manipulation. Again, sourcing one New York paper had this to say. One reader to the paper had this to say. And so on and so forth. All designed to galvanize a response. Poke, poke, poke. Prod, prod, prod. Respond, respond, respond. Even though we are legally allowed preemptive warfare because of some BS rule changes, that doesn't change the fact they're still trying to manipulate this thing into happening, and that's exactly what's going on. This one came out on the 26th from The Independent. It says, at 3 a.m. on January 11th, U.S. military forces raided the Iranian liaison office in the Kurdish capital of Erbil and obtained detained five Iranian officials who are still prisoners. This attack marked a significant escalation of the conflict between U.S. and Iran. Britain is inevitably involved in this as America's only important ally, foreign ally in Iraq. In fact, the U.S. raid could have even had more significant consequences if the Americans had captured the Iranian official that they were targeting, Fuad Hussein, the chief of staff of the Kurdish president Masoud Barzani told The Independent, quote, they were after Mohammad Jafari, the deputy chairman of Iran's National Security Council, end quote. It is a measure of the difficulty America has in getting close to its allies in Iraq, notably the Kurds, to join it in confronting Iran, that Mr. Jafari was in Erbil as part of the Iranian delegation. The political links between Iran and Iraq will be difficult to sever. Most Iraqi political leaders, Arab or Kurdish, were exiles in Iran or in Syria. They're also conscious that one day the U.S. will withdraw from Iraq, but Iran will always be there. So they're saying, hey, look, everybody else is going to probably wait this out. The British will not. And the British now have some captured sailors and Marines. Economically, northern Iraq needs Iran more than Iran needs it. Iranian petrol commands a premium price because it is considered pure, and Kurdistan is eager to increase its supply of electricity, of which it is permanently short from Iran. Now, Turkey has already sent troops across the border into Iraq, into northern Iraq, into the Kurdish areas, and is looking to stomp out these PKK rebels. Now, maybe you've seen that story. That's basically the gist of it. Now, the PKK is condemned by the United States, but I'm of the mind, and I think there's significant evidence out there, that we are supporting them sort of vicariously, just sort of, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge sort of thing, allowing them to do their thing. The reason why is that we have basically said we would defend the Kurds, which we should. The Kurds are really the only people in Iraq who did do the flowers and cheer and rejoice and are really happy that the Americans are there. The only group of people. They're thrilled that we're there. However, the U.S. has said they would defend the Kurds, but I'm of the mind that if this is simply a bargaining chip, okay, the bargaining chip is not with the Kurds, it's with Turkey. We want Turkey to allow overflights of their territory to allow bombings to take place in Iran. And if Turkey grants us this, we will probably look the other way and allow Turkey to go in there and take out the PKK and probably all the Kurdish people as well. Just on a side note there. The U.S. raid in Erbil in January would have had far more serious consequences if Mr. Jafari had been abducted. As it was, the seizure of five Iranian officials seems to have set the scene for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard seizing 15 British sailors and Marines. An excellent, excellent analysis. What does that mean? It means that when you look at the whole thing, folks, the gist of it is that we started it. Now, you keep in mind the Iranian general who either defected or was abducted, who's either being interrogated or coaxed politely into giving us all of his documents that he supposedly ran away from. He supposedly defected to the U.S., abandoning his wife and his five children, and you could say that we started the whole thing. We did. That's not going to be considered once this whole thing kicks off. But that's where it started. March 27th, Associated Press. American warplanes screamed off two aircraft carriers Tuesday as the U.S. Navy staged its largest show of force in the Persian Gulf since the 2003 invasion of Iraq. Emphasis, of course, mine on the word invasion. The largest show of force since an invasion? What does that mean? Oh, maybe getting ready for an invasion? Launching a mammoth exercise meant as a message to Iran. The maneuvers with 15 warships and more than 100 aircraft were sure to heighten tensions with Iran, which has frequently condemned the U.S. military's presence off of its coast. While they would not say when the war games were planned, U.S. commanders insisted the exercises were not a direct response to Friday's seizure of the 15 British sailors and Marines, but they made it clear that the flexing of the Navy's military might was intended as a warning, said Captain Bradley Johnson, commander of the USS John C. Stennis. Quote, if there is strong presence, then it sends a clear message that you better be careful about trying to intimidate others. Iran has adopted a very escalatory posture with the things that they have done, end quote. Yeah, and we haven't done anything. Meanwhile, oil prices shot up 8% in a matter of minutes after hours trading Tuesday, topping $68 as rumors spread that the Iranians had fired at a U.S. ship in the Persian Gulf and that Britain had taken action to free their captives. But both the U.S. military and the British government denied those rumors. The exercises began 4 days after Iranian forces detained 15 Britons for allegedly being in Iranian territorial waters near the northern end of the Gulf. And go on, it goes on and on and on. F-18 fighter jets roared off the Stennis' flight deck all day long, mounting a dozen rapid-fire training sorties against imaginary enemy ships and aircraft. A second task force with the carrier USS Dwight D. Eisenhower also took part in these drills. At the Pentagon, spokesman Brian Whitman said the Navy routinely conducts exercises when its forces are deployed nearby. Said Whitman, quote, The exercise should reassure our friends and allies of our commitment to security and stability in the region. We are not interested in confrontation in the Gulf, end quote. Hello? We are not interested in confrontation in the Gulf? I take you back to the first sentence of the story. The U.S. Navy staged its largest show of force in the Persian Gulf since the 2003 invasion of Iraq. That sounds like a confrontation, Mr. Whitman. The war games involve more than 10,000 U.S. personnel mounting simulated attacks on enemy aircraft and ships while hunting submarines and looking for mines. The Stennis' strike group, with more than 6,500 sailors and Marines, entered the Gulf late Monday or early Tuesday, along with the guided missile cruiser, the USS Antietam, said the Navy. The Stennis, which had been supporting military operations in Afghanistan from the Arabian Sea, joined the strike group led by the Eisenhower. It is the first time two U.S. aircraft carriers have operated in the Gulf since the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. But we're not interested in confrontation. Each carrier carries an air wing of F-18 Hornet and Super Hornet fighter bombers, EA-6B Prowler electronic warfare aircraft, S-3 Viking refueling and anti-submarine planes, and E-2C Hawkeye airborne command and control aircraft. Also taking part were six guided missile destroyers, the Anzio, the Ramage, the O'Kane, the Mason, the Preble, and the Neitz, the frigate Hawks, the amphibious assault ships Boxer and Bataan, and the minesweeper Scout, Gladiator, and Ardent. Wow, sounds like a pretty involved exercise, doesn't it? Does to me, too. This one, also from the 27th, from ISN Security Watch, it says, the fate of 15 British soldiers and Marines, arrested by Iranian naval forces Friday, remained unclear Tuesday morning as international efforts continued to secure their release. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards detained the British sailors in the long-contested Shat al-Arab waterway. On Monday, Iranian officials said interrogation of the sailors had begun. The AP reported this, but little other information was available. An unnamed Iranian source told the BBC Monday the sailors are being held in a Revolutionary Guard base in Tehran, but that report could not be independently confirmed. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad canceled his planned address to the United Nations once it became clear that the U.S. had secured Russian and Chinese support for the extension of international sanctions. He vowed Sunday that the international measures would not halt Iranian uranium enrichment work, quote, even for a second, end quote. The maritime border between Persia and Arabia has been contested since the 17th century, with no agreement reached since the lapse of a deal penned by Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi and Saddam Hussein. The Shat al-Arab is vital to the trade of both states, with virtually all Iraqi oil exports passing through facilities at the mouth of the waterway and two major Iranian cities situated along its course. The Shat al-Arab appears to have been chosen for the arrest as one of the few places where Iranian and international forces are in close proximity on a regular basis in an area of contested sovereignty. Excuse me. The arrests were likely an attempt by hardline elements of the Revolutionary Guard to embarrass Britain in a waterway adjacent to areas of Iraq, increasingly coming under Iranian influence, and to cow domestic proponents of foreign policy moderation ahead of the UN vote. Translation. This act could have been done by, again, a disorganized element of the Iranian government, such as the Revolutionary Guards, not necessarily sanctioned, perhaps, by the Iranian government per se. So, again, in the continuation of escalation of hostilities, everyone's going to point the finger at Iran because this is what's getting most of the press. They're showing pictures of the people on TV, and, of course, they're running human interest stories like they did during, you know, the Olympics or the Super Bowl, where they're saying so-and-so had cancer back in such-and-such, and they overcame this adversity in order to compete here today. Well, they're doing the human interest pieces on those soldiers over there in those British sailors and Marines, which they should. We should care about them, but understand that they're being utilized as pawns, okay, in this ramping up of the war. All right, it goes on. The arrest can also be seen as a response to the apparent defection of former Guards commander Ali Askari 6 weeks ago, or perhaps not the defection, but maybe the kidnapping. And it says, and the January arrest of six Iranian officials in Erbil, including the alleged head of the Guards elite Al-Quds force in Iraq. It may be that the Britons were detained in a bid to secure the release of the six Iranian detainees, but if so, it appears unlikely that order came from the highest political levels. It's unlikely that the order to abduct the British came from the highest political levels of Iran. Very interesting. There's more, of course. Stay with us, folks. Back in three.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
You knew that already. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, our all-news edition here, working on 3.5 hours straight of news and analysis and heck of a lot of opinion on my part, but that's okay. This is just my assessment, but I'm telling you where the stories are. I'm telling you how to find them, the date they're found, and I would happily even direct you to them personally if I could. And I would happily do so should the opportunity arise. But the point I'm trying to make here, folks, is if you read these stories and you read them in these segments, you'll get bits and pieces of information out of it, each and every one of them, different analysis from all over the world. And it's important to understand the big picture, and that's what we're looking at here. Again, this story from ISN Security Watch, and it goes on. Such a blatant hostage-taking, it says, would not serve Iran's primary foreign policy interests. Securing a Russian and Chinese blocking vote against further strengthening of the UN sanctions against the regime. But that's exactly what would happen here, folks. Think about this. Now, China and Russia both endorse moderately stronger sanctions against Iran And, of course, Ahmadinejad was supposed to speak before the UN Security Council. He canceled his trip, and he said, that's it, you're not going to stop us at all. And they had captured, of course, some British guys as well, and gal, of course. And as a result of that, you know, China and Russia are now wondering exactly what's going to happen with the oil markets. Because, again, if the U.S., with their aircraft carriers and their enormously large exercise being taken place right now, China and Russia are very, very concerned about a blockade. If a blockade happens, they're going to have their access cut off. If that happens, couple of things. Either A, there's going to be some sort of military involvement. B, there's going to be some other shenanigans going on. C, you could see the UN thing fall apart, because Tony Blair's now run to the UN to ask them for help with all this whole thing. And of course, by help, he means can you point the finger and shake it at Iran strongly. It goes on, this unsavory incident has served its purpose as far as Iranian hardliners are concerned, as both a warning and a statement of resolve. Nonetheless, the arrests indicate the increasing desperation of Iranian authorities as the international isolation of the Islamic Republic begins to bite. I disagree. Disagree with that last statement. There is no Islamic isolation. There is no isolation of Iran. Iran is making itself known, intentionally so, as how important it is. And therefore, they're getting support, and it will probably grow as time goes on. This is from the British press, timesonline.co.uk, the 27th. Britain's relations with Iran will move into a quote-unquote different phase unless Tehran quickly releases 15 British soldiers and Marines taken hostage last week, said Prime Minister Tony Blair. His spokesman later explained that by saying, quote, different phrase, end quote, Mr. Blair meant that Britain might explore alternative means of negotiating with Iran, such as making public the exact coordinates of the incident last Friday, which would indicate that it took place in Iraq waters, which they did, by the way. So that was the different phase. Although he seems to make a statement about what a different phase would be later on. This one came out on the 29th, Associated Press. Prime Minister Tony Blair said Thursday Britain would not negotiate over British sailors and Marines held hostage by Iran. Britain's Sky News, meanwhile, said Iran had released another letter by captured sailor Faye Turney, this time calling for the withdrawal of troops from Iraq. Said Tony Blair, quote, the important thing for us is to get them back safe and sound, but we can't enter into some basis of bargaining. What you have to do when you're engaged with people like the Iranian regime, you have to keep explaining to them very patiently what it is necessary to do. And at the time, make them fully aware that there are further measures that will be taken if they are not prepared to be reasonable. What you can't do is end up negotiating over hostages, end up saying there's some quid pro quo or tit for tat. That is not acceptable. End quote. So Tony Blair in his tit for tat speech is basically saying, in essence, he's very condescending, as you'd expect Tony Blair to be, to the Iranian people in this story, again, exacerbating the problem, just like, you know, the media manipulation we talked about. This is what he's saying. When you're engaged with people like the Iranian regime, you have to keep explaining to them very patiently, this is what you have to do. And it, at the same time, make them fully aware that there are further measures that will be taken if they're not being reasonable. Because they're inherently a stupid people, is what he's saying. Because they inherently need you to just really... lots of sighs, lots of head shaking, lots of looking down your nose at them, because inherently the Iranian people are very stupid, is what he's saying. Well, no, that's not what he's saying. Of course not. But that's how it's going to be perceived, and that's why that quote is taken as such. Now, again, make no mistake. You don't think people in Iran, particularly the leaders, are reading foreign press? Of course they are. So they're getting this out of it, too. So this is all just ramping things up. That's all it is. This one from the Pakistan Times on the 29th. U.S. President George W. Bush fully backs British Prime Minister Tony Blair over the crisis with Iran, which seized 15 British naval personnel nearly a week ago, said the White House on Wednesday. Bush held a secured video teleconference with Blair on Wednesday, at which he said he, quote, fully backs, end quote, the British leader in this affair, White House spokeswoman Dana Perino said. The Bush is 100% behind Tony Blair. Of course he is. Because it leads to exactly the agenda of the war on terror and, of course, the acquisition and manipulation of Iran and their oil supply and things like that. From the AP on the 29th, Britain took its case to free its 15 sailors and Marines held by Iran to the UN on Thursday, asking the Security Council to support a statement that would, quote, deplore, end quote, Iran's action in demand for the immediate release of these sailors. Ooh, hey, UN, can you issue a statement that says, I deplore this? And then we'll all sign our names to it. That'll be really powerful stuff. Again, this is twofold in this purpose, and we'll explain that when we come back. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to our all-news edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. We are picking apart the situation with Iran and the UK and what is going on. Tony Blair has taken his case to the United Nations and has asked them to support a statement that would, quote-unquote, deplore Tehran's actions. Now, given what we just talked about with the situation with Russia and China and their dependence on Iranian oil, do you really think they're going to support this? Heck no, they're not going to support this. Not in a billion years. It goes on. But Security Council diplomats said the brief press statement circulated by Britain's UN mission is likely to face problems from Russia and others because it says that the British were operating in Iraqi waters, a point that Iran contests. The British move came as Iran rolled back on its promise to release the sole female British sailor among the captives who were seized last week. The Iranian military chief, General Ali Reza Shar said that because of the quote-unquote wrong behavior of the British government, quote, the release of a female British soldier has been suspended, end quote. That came from the semi-official Iranian news agency Mir. Iran's top negotiator, Ali Larijani, also hinted that the British crew members may be put on trial. Now, obviously, they've been hinting about that for a week now. The standoff and broader tensions in the Gulf region helped fuel a spike in world oil prices, of course. A press statement is the weakest action the Security Council can take, but the statement must be approved by all council members. Diplomats said Britain was also weighing a stronger presidential statement, which, unlike a press statement, is read at a formal Security Council meeting and becomes part of the official record. Ooh. An official record? You're actually going to read it to everybody? Ooh, that's tough talk. Some members also want to hear the Iranian side, the diplomat said, speaking on condition of anonymity because the discussions were private. This is our private conversation. You can't be a part of it. All right. So, like I said, the point of this whole thing is twofold for the most part. Number one, first of all, it gives Tony Blair the appearance he's doing everything diplomatically possible before a rescue attempt slash invasion or whatever is launched. Okay? So that's point number one. Because we all know that nothing's going to come out of it. Point number two, it also is going to highlight the absolute inefficiency, ineffectiveness, and nonsensical way that the United Nations operates. About how when you get somebody in there, a country at issue, like Iran, that permanent members of the UN Security Council have vested interests in keeping them afloat, doing what they're doing, nothing is going to happen. That's the whole point. So when the attack is launched and Bush reads a speech or Tony Blair reads his speech to the people that they'll be addressing, it will say something on the lines of, we have exhausted every diplomatic opportunity for this thing to be resolved. The United Nations is absolutely not helping us with this situation whatsoever. And the question I would ask you is, of course they are, first of all. And secondly, why would they help? The United Nations is a purposeless entity, except for a show. It just allows diplomats to walk around and strut. It allows celebrities to be able to put UN Goodwill Ambassador on their resumes and impress us all with their high-fluting standards. But what I'm saying, really, in essence, is that why would the UN help the British out? How many times has the UN issued, deplorable, statements and things like that against other nations that have been involved in kidnapping? You've got the U.S. We definitely have kidnapped five or six Iranians out of Iraq and possibly kidnapped the former Revolutionary Guard commander who may or may not have defected. So we just don't know what's going on. And where's the U.N. there, right? Where's the U.N. every time they issue statements against, strong-armed military tactics taken against the Palestinian people by the Israelis? Where's the UN there? Nobody listens to the UN at all. But the point is, Tony Blair gives the appearance of jumping through all the proper channels. Now, here's the something that's extraordinarily significant, I believe, and that is this. Tony Blair is in bed with the United States. He's in bed with Bush on this whole thing and the war on terror and all that jazz. That's why the UK is having such draconian anti-terrorism measures being implemented. That's why all these things are going on. Tony Blair said God told him to do this. George Bush has said God told him to do this, and they're doing it. Well, if you didn't know already, Tony Blair is due to step down soon. According to The Guardian, Friday, March 16th of this year, Britain could have a new prime minister by June 22nd, it was predicted today, as Labour chiefs prepare to drop a leadership election timetable to replace Tony Blair. The June date is based on the widespread speculation that the prime minister will announce his retirement the day after the Scottish and Welsh elections on May 4th. So when he announces he'll be stepping down on May 4th is what they're speculating now. What does that mean? Well, that means he'd virtually be a lame duck president until June, right? Until the new prime minister steps in. So Tony Blair's not going to have any authority to do anything after May 4th, if that's the day he does make such a statement. Which means between now, March 30th, and May 4th, the war's going to have to happen. It says the last possible date for Mr. Blair to announce his resignation without dragging leadership elections into the parliamentary recess would be May 31st. So sometime there, I guess, between now and the end of May. So we've got a good month or two. So pay attention to these things. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. But it's extraordinarily significant because big things are happening. Now we've got this one. Tuesday, this came out from Reuters. Defense Secretary Robert Gates on Tuesday said the United States was open to high-level talks with Tehran, but warned against, quote, illusions about Iran's government and its intentions. He says in a speech to the American Turkish Council in Washington, quote, we should have no illusions about the nature of this regime or about their designs for their nuclear program, their intentions for Iraq, or their ambitions in the Gulf region, end quote. So again, he's talking to the American Turkish Council, probably, of course, garnering support for Turkey's agreement to a flyover for an invasion of Iran. That doesn't surprise me at all. But it is interesting that this is from Robert Gates, Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Okay, and here's why. It goes on. Gates, who advocated U.S. dialogue with Iran before he took the Pentagon job in December, said talks this month in Baghdad that included U.S. and Iranian and Syrian officials were a quote-unquote good start toward improving cooperation. He said, quote, our government is open to high-level exchanges, but in dealing with a regime like Iran, one has to be realistic. The American search for elusive Iranian moderates is a recurring and mostly fruitless theme since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, end quote. Translation. The idea that we're going to actually be able to talk to anybody who can do anything or anybody that's not a crazy radical Muslim extremist is slim to none. That's kind of what he's saying. Now, it is noteworthy that it says before he took office in December, he had advocated U.S. dialogue with Iran. Before he was the defense secretary, he had advocated dialogue with Iran. He did this in two different ways. Number one, first of all, he wrote a paper a while back saying it's very, very important to be in good relations with Iran. Secondly, he was a member of the Iraq Study Group, the Baker-Hamilton Commission, the bipartisan commission that advocated talking to Iran and at the same time talking to Iran about Iraq and at the same time increasing troop levels up to but not surpassing 100,000 troops increase troop surge in Iraq. Why? Because why only 100,000 is what I'm saying. Why? Because there aren't any more available. That sounds like a draft. It also sounds like the answer, the way forward in Iraq, that all the Democrats were trumpeting and all that, is to increase troops. So again, you've got your fix in with this bipartisan crap, like the bipartisan September 11th commission that suggested we have RFID chips in our national standardized driver's license / passports. The same BS bipartisanship that advocates that the way to solving the problem with Iraq and getting our troops out is to send more troops. And people go, good idea. Idiots! That's the problem, folks. Most people in America are idiots. They don't understand these things. And the other people in America, besides us and besides the absolute morons out there, are the people who just look at the news and they just shake their head and say, I don't get it. It makes my head hurt. It doesn't make any sense. Well, of course it doesn't make any sense until you really delve into it and look at it with these eyes that we have and see things as we see. So, twofold, Robert Gates has advocated dialogue with Iran until he got the defense secretary job. Now he's saying, we've got to get in there and kick them Arabs' butts. Not exactly in those terms, but that's the gist of it. This one from March 28th, iranmania.com. Russia's foreign ministry has sharply criticized the United States for what it called over-reliance on force and warned Washington against military action against Iran, the Associated Press reported. But in a major review of foreign policy priorities, the Russian foreign ministry said yesterday that Moscow was ready to cooperate to end global crises if Washington treats it as an equal partner. The 70-page document echoing a tough speech by President Vladimir Putin in Germany last month reaffirms Russia's determination to challenge the United States when it feels it has to, despite Moscow's recent decision to increase pressure on Iran's nuclear program. The 70-page document reaffirms Russia's determination to challenge the United States when it feels it has to, such as when their oil is disrupted. Do you understand what that means? The statement reflects Russia's growing confidence and economic clout and appears to be a signal to Washington that while the two nations can work together, Russia will not always follow the U.S. lead, such as allowing an invasion of Iran. We've talked about this many times. The Bashir nuclear power plant. First it was a go, then it was a no-go, then it was a go, then it was a no-go. It started out with, I believe it was Germany, that was going to do it, and then that fell apart. Russia decided to take over, and of course they were sort of held up as they attempted to build on the German design rather than start from scratch. So this thing, this Bushehr power plant, the nuclear plant, has been going on for a long, long time. Iran supposedly didn't pay their bills, and Russia, you know, of course, started saying, well, maybe we should think about more sanctions. They're not paying us, so what, you know, what's the big problem? And they started to remove their personnel. Then Iran, of course, came back with the money and said, you know, here it is, sorry, no problem. And the Russians resumed work on this thing. Now, the Bushehr power plant and the future nuclear power plants that Iran is looking to sign contracts for, that contract is worth billions. So think about this, a couple of different scenarios. Russia has spent several years watching us make threats and allegations and point fingers at Iran and say how evil they are. They're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing this. The Russians could very simply validate everything the U.S. has said and invalidate a U.S. or British or Israeli invasion of Iran by putting their troops on Iranian soil. We'll make sure that they're not doing this. We'll take care of it. Thank you for highlighting what an important threat Russia is to the security of the world. We will now place our troops on their soil. We'll make sure they don't develop any nuclear weapons. And what's the U.S. and the British going to do? And the Israelis are going to go, crap, they beat us to it. Now Russia controls their oil. It's very, very likely, with a wink and a nudge, Iran could give their approval for this sort of thing to happen. I don't know if that they would, but it is noteworthy. It is interesting. As is this story from the 27th, RIA Novosti out of Russia. Russian military intelligence services are reporting a flurry of activity by U.S. armed forces near Iran's borders, a high-ranking security source said Tuesday. The official said, quote, the latest military intelligence data point to heightened U.S. military preparations for both an air and a ground operation against Iran, end quote. This is straight out of the official Russian news. This is not some crazy blog. This is not some crazy conspiracy theory stuff. This is an official story. The official, who made the comments, added that the Pentagon has probably not yet made a final decision as to when an attack will be launched. He said the Pentagon is looking for a way to deliver a strike against Iran, quote, that would enable the Americans to bring the country to its knees at minimal cost, end quote. He also said the U.S. naval presence in the Persian Gulf has, for the first time in the last 4 years, reached the level that existed shortly before the invasion of Iraq in March of 2003. So again, I've said this to you earlier in the news segment. An invasion-level force is an invasion-level force, plain and simple. Now we've got an invasion-level force with the Navy. And as far as the troops on the ground, we've got a lot. A lot. It was at 140,000 before the troop increase, which would take it to about 175,000 officially, although there are potentially plans to increase that up to 75,000 additional troops, which would make that somewhere around 215,000 or so, give or take a few 10,000 troops. That's a lot, folks. That is a substantial amount of troops in the area. Now, that doesn't even include the troops we have stationed at our many bases in the Middle East, or the troops that we have in Afghanistan. Now, when you factor that in, as well as factor in the 100,000 plus, give or take a few 10,000, government-sanctioned mercenaries, also known as security contractors, then you have upwards of 500,000 troops or so ready to handle this whole thing. All in all, it's very, very substantial numbers that are all playing part in this. So the Russians have said, again, there's a flurry of activity by the U.S. armed forces near Iran's borders, meaning these are just the ground troops. We know about all the naval stuff because we've been talking about it. In fact, it's very possible that those naval exercises, in addition to making a point to Iran, were also done by design to distract from people observing the flurry of activity on Iran's borders. But, of course, Russia has a substantial amount of money tied up in this whole thing. They're going to pay attention to all of it. Colonel General Leonid Ivashov, Vice President of the Academy of Geopolitical Sciences, said last week that the Pentagon is planning to deliver a massive airstrike on Iran's military infrastructure in the near future. A new U.S. carrier battle group has been dispatched to the Gulf. The U.S. is also sending Patriot anti-missile systems to the region. Anybody have any doubt at this point that the war is on? Anyone? It all just depends on what angle they want to play. As we've said, many, 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 many irons in many fires, folks. Who knows exactly which one they'll play? And whether it's Democratic or Republican president in 2008, and I think it's going to be a Democrat, they're going to look at this war on terror thus far and say, this thing is a huge mess. We've got all these troops in there, and of course, troops in Iraq and all that stuff. Now, a Democrat's not going to come in here and end the war on terror. Democrats not going to come in here and end the occupation of Iraq. They're not going to end the occupation of Iran. We have to control those things. At the very least, we will keep bases in these countries to, quote-unquote, secure the continuity of oil distribution. In, for the world's sake, of course. So Iran has started to ask for everything to be denominated in other than dollars. They're at 60% income coming in euros and in other things other than dollars. They have diversified their reserve holdings of money down to only 20% dollars, and they're going to continue to do so. We've got the British soldiers that are kidnapped. They might go on trial. Then again, they might just be killed by an angry Iranian mob or something like that. Or we might just find their bodies floating in the Straits of Hormuz or something like that. So whether it's blockade or an invasion or a rescue attempt, regardless, folks, this is going to happen. And there's a limited time frame to make it happen, and so pay attention to that as well. Stay with us. Back in three.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
People who use Cardivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cardivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cardivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cardivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jobs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cardivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Welcome back, folks. The conclusion here, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, our all-news edition. I apologize we didn't have time for calls, but I didn't really expect that we would, I suppose. There's just so much of it. But I will make time tomorrow, so mark that down. We will have time for your calls tomorrow. This one came out on the 28th from the Associated Press. In conclusion, Democratic presidential candidate Bill Richardson said the United States needs to do more to prevent a, quote, nuclear 911, a threat that he argues has been neglected because the Bush administration has been consumed with Iraq. The New Mexico governor said the United States must lead an effort to secure nuclear materials in Russia and dangerous areas of the world so they can't get into terrorist hands. He said, quote, if Al-Qaeda obtained nuclear weapons, they would not hesitate to use them with the same ruthlessness that allowed them to fly airplanes filled with people into buildings. He said in a speech to the NITSI School of Advanced International Studies at Johns Hopkins University. Richardson worked on securing Russian nuclear weapons when he was energy secretary in the Clinton administration, but he accused the Bush administration of underfunding the programs. In the question-and-answer period after the speech, Richardson laid out his plans for his first few days in the White House. The first day, he said, he would get out of Iraq. The second day, he would announce a plan to drastically cut U.S. dependence on foreign oil. The third day, the issue would be global warming. Richardson gave former Vice President Al Gore credit for spreading knowledge about the issue through his Oscar-winning film, but he's not encouraging Gore to enter the 2008 race. He said with a laugh, quote, I like Al Gore. He looks very healthy and prosperous. He should stay where he is, unquote. So there you go. Democrat, Republican, we will have more tyranny. We will have more revocation of freedoms. And again, a nuclear 9/11. How could we have one of these, Bill Richardson's, formerly in the Clinton cabinet? Well, because of Russia's unsecure nuclear supply. Now, I hearken you back to something we talked about last week, which is the assassination of these various British journalists and the people going out there. Alexander Litvinenko, poisoned by polonium-210. Was he poisoned by it because it was an assassination, because he was talking or saying something? That's what they would have us to believe. However, I think we've done the legwork and the stories to confirm it, and the guests also to weigh in on this, that Litvinenko was poisoned because he was smuggling polonium-210, which is used as a nuclear trigger in suitcase nukes. Suitcase nukes, which could be brought, of course, from Russia to the hands of Al-Qaeda via Chechnya. The Chechens, Litvinenko had a lot of friends in Chechnya, and converted to Islam on his deathbed. Now, the shelf life, if you will, of these polonium-210 nuclear triggers is about 4 months or so. Sometimes 6 months, but certainly not much longer than that. So if the polonium-210 poisoning happened in October, November, that takes us to right about May or April, I guess, probably April, is so far as to say that the triggers on these suitcase nukes will not probably function after that. So what does all that mean? It means that whether we're going in there to rescue British troops, whether going in there to retaliate because of something that Iran does, such as, of course, an Al-Qaeda-inspired terrorist attack on U.S. soil, or perhaps because Iran is aiding the insurgency in Iraq, or we're going in there because of an oil bourse, or because they're purchasing or allowing oil to be purchased only in non-dollar denominations, or all of the above. Or because, remember this rationale, because they're producing nuclear weapons. You know, everything they've thrown at the wall hasn't stuck thus far. But all of it in some level can be. And I think that what we're getting here is the signal that this terrorist attack, dirty bomb perhaps, a suitcase nuke perhaps, on U.S. soil, might be the next phase. If nothing else works, if the British soldiers, or sailors and marines, if you will, if that situation is resolved diplomatically and whatnot, then who knows? It might be a terrorist attack. But folks, understand all this stuff. Pray about all this stuff. Pray for discernment and see these things with your own eyes. Hear it with your own ears and make your own opinions. Everything I've said here on the show has been sourced from its location, which is easily obtainable by you. There's no secret sources here. Everything has been given out. And everything that I've said as far as analysis has been my personal opinion and only my opinion. You are not required, expected, or even desired to buy into what I'm saying. Figure it out for yourself. But I think we've seen a comprehensive level of evidence indicating this war is scheduled, indicating it has to happen, indicating that it will happen one way or the other. So pray on it, okay? And take comfort in your prayers. Take comfort in the fact that whatever you're praying for, the good Lord is hearing you, and he's taking good care of you and all of us, and everything's going to be fine, okay? So just be aware of it, but don't ever be afraid of it, okay? Have a great day. We'll see you in about 20 hours for more Frankly Speaking Radio.